No, We're Not Scared. Welcome in, Chase McCabe, live from Bridgestone Arena at the Jack Daniel's Barrel House here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and all around the world on the Game Nashville app. How is it going? Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday morning thus far. You may ask the question, Chase, why are you at Bridgestone Arena? Well, number one is my producer, Captain Kurt, who is back at the Game Nashville studios presented by Wholesale Link Mount Juliet, pointed out Pred season is never over. The Smashville celebration will take place today at Bridgestone Arena. The doors will open at noon. There's a ton of stuff that you can do with the family. So if you're sitting around and you're thinking, huh, what do I want to do today? What do we want to do as a family today? Well, you can come out to Bridgestone Arena. Like I said, the doors open at noon. There's going to be a free lunch provided by Delaware North. Nashville Predators will have a team store sale. There's face painting, the locker room. You can tour that. Bunch of games, inflatables, and more. At 1 o'clock, there's a panel that can talk about Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators, the history. You know, we're going to get into the lease here in just a second, what all that means. If you're over 18 at 2 o'clock, you can have a shot on goal for a chance to win $25,000. So a lot going on today and tomorrow here at Bridgestone Arena as a part of the Smashville celebration. And one of the big things we are celebrating, Captain Kurt, is the subject of the Pulse.
Bringing you Nashville's most trending topic.
You can make some noise, man.
It's the Pulse.
The band.
Now with Chase McCabe.
Huge news coming down on Thursday from the Preds in the city of Nashville. Bridgestone Arena, Metro Nashville have announced a proposal for a new 30-year lease agreement, which means the Nashville Predators will call this building home until at least 2049. So what all this means, it is a proposal, so that means it has to be voted upon in June. It's going to be. This thing is pretty much done. There's just some formalities that it has to go through. But reading through this and what Sean Henry of the Predators and his team have put together, Mayor David Briley, you'll hear from them in a second. Sean Henry is actually going to join us today at 10:30 to talk more about this. But this is a huge win not only for the Preds because they have a home, which is good, but it's huge for Nashville because all of the money that needs to go into Bridgestone Arena to be able to keep it up, because by the time this lease is over, this building's going to be over 50 years old. That's going to come from the Preds. That's not going to come from the city. This new lease agreement basically says, hey, Nashville, we want you to take the money that you use for Bridgestone Arena and you use for the Preds. We want you to put that elsewhere because there's so much going on in this city that's needed. And, I mean, the MLS stadium is being built. The racetrack, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Nissan Stadium, there's so many things, schools that need money that the Preds are like, hey, we got this. You know, we've been doing a lot of really good things over the last 10 or so years. And so I think it's really, really cool that they're able to do this. So some of the highlights, this is a press release that the Preds sent out. The Davidson County General Fund is relieved from all obligations of supporting the arena and its anchor tenant, the Nashville Predators. That's the big part. The agreement utilizes existing in-arena revenue streams to maintain, improve, and expand the building while eliminating the city's guarantees. Moving forward, revenue driven by arena guests will fund ongoing building improvements, not Metro. Here's a stat that really stood out to me, and I want to talk about this for a second. 72% of arena ticket buyers come from outside Davidson County. And when you hear that, you may think, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, it means that you're getting a ton of tourists. You're getting a ton of residents of the surrounding counties, because we know that a lot of Preds fans, a lot of concert goers all live in Rutherford, Williamson, Wilson, you know, surrounding counties. It's not just Nashville. And essentially, it's basic economics. You are getting people coming from all over spending money in your building to pay for your building. And it's brilliant. That's what you want. I don't know exactly the ratio of that in other cities, but when you think about where Bridgestone Arena is, it makes sense because you're smack dab in the middle of downtown and you're going to have people coming from all over paying for your building. And I think that's huge. That's not saying that people in Davidson County don't use the arena, because of course they do. But like I said, you have a lot of fans that are living outside the Nashville metro area. And that's how they're able to bring in a lot of revenue for this building. So I just think it's huge. It opens, the press release continues, opens the door for continued civic impact through charitable causes undertaken by the Nashville Predators Foundation and the creation of projects like the Ford Ice Centers in Antioch and Bellevue, which sparks economic development and growth in outlying communities. Think about a little over 10 years ago when we were, you know, I was a fan. I knew about the Preds. I'd been to a game or two, but I wasn't like I am now because I just didn't understand the sport. And I think a lot of people saw, okay, this team's about to leave. Well, that's not good. That can't be good for the city. And then everyone kind of got interested, and it was like, oh, okay, all right, let's do this. And we've seen what has happened over the last 10 or so years and the commitment that the new ownership, not new anymore, but the ownership group has made. And then Sean Henry and Jeff Kogan were hired. It just shows you how much this thing has grown. And now they're in a position where it's like, hey, we'll pay for it. We got it. We got it under control. So it's just cool for the city of Nashville. Mayor David Riley was on Jared and the GM. Ryan Porth was filling in for Jared. So he was on with Ryan and Floyd a couple of days ago. And he said that this deal is a win.
I think it's a hallmark moment. You know, the city under Mayor Dean and under Mayor Bradison made some significant investments that had some risk to them to keep the Predators here and to bring them here in the first place. And so this deal for the city is a moment where we can say we made good decisions. We made good investments because at this point we've got a team that's going to be here and not be needing a taxpayer subsidy. And also have a great facility in the core of the city. So that, to me, seems like a pretty good win.
Mayor David Riley on with Jared and the or with Ryan and the GM, I should say. But you look at this building, and one thing that stands out to me, you know, I get to roam around sometimes, to, you know, doing media things, and there's a lot of space. And it seems like that the thing the Preds and Powers Management have been really good at is they find this space and they look at it and they go, all right, what can we do with it? And prime example of that is what I'm sitting in right now, the Jack Daniels Barrel House. I don't remember what this was. I think it might have been storage or something. But they found this space and they were like, let's put a bar there. And now at Preds games, this thing is packed before and during intermissions and after the game. This is where we do all our shows. And there are prime examples all over the building that they have found new uses for space, and it continues to grow. And I know that they have plans to, you know, they upgraded the seats a few years ago. They put the ribbon boards up. They're going to put a new scoreboard up at some point. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they're planning to do over the next 20 years, putting $350 million or more into this building to keep it current, keep it up to date. Sean Henry was on with Morning Drive yesterday, the president and CEO of the Predators, and he said that is the goal with this lease, is to keep this building current as it gets older.
We are in the best possible location for any venue, I'd say in America, where we sit. What's really nice is with Mayor Bredesen's vision of putting the arena there, he created, you know, the wave of development around the building, that entertainment district, and I think we brought it to life. And then when the Titan Stadium was put at the other end of the road, if you will, it really created something really dynamic. And what's exciting is we're going to play in that place for the next 30 years. And it really isn't a lease extension. It's really a brand new lease. I mean, the old one is terminated, you know, it is approved in June, and it will be. This new one will go into place, but we're almost switching roles with the city. You know, right now it's the city's burden to keep the building state-of-the-art. Years ago, we made the decision to never invoke that clause, because we thought it was more important for us to figure out revenue streams and funding sources to invest in the building and not try to tap into the city. And you see the result. You know, the building looks pretty new. It's modern, and it's going to be one of the most modern buildings in America for the next 30 years, regardless of what renovations we do or don't do. What we just set in motion will allow that building, just like Madison Square Garden, is to be one of the most modern buildings in the country for the next 30 years.
What this agreement says is the Preds are saying, hey, we're happy with our home. They've taken care of it. They've updated it. They're going to continue to do that. And they're like, hey, you know what? We want to turn this. It's already considered one of the loudest, if not the loudest buildings in the NHL. So we want to stay here. We want to continue to build this and add history to it. you know, hopefully hang more banners. They're going to hang one more with a Central Division title, but hang a Stanley Cup banner, do all those things, have big events like the SEC tournament and maybe more NCAA tournament rounds, have bigger concerts, things like that. But they're like, hey, we don't want a new building. We like this building. And so taking the burden of the money, and it's not a burden, but taking that off the city allows, as I said earlier, allows the city to put money in other places and other things. And that is the big conversation. So what does that mean? What does that mean for the city of Nashville? And what will the city of Nashville look like in 10, 20, and then when this lease is up in 30 years? That's what we're going to discuss. I welcome your phone calls as well, 615-737-1025. What is the next step for Nashville? You will hear more from Mayor Briley when we come back on the Chase McCabe Show on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Pete. Welcome back in. Chase McCabe Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Smashville Celebration coming your way today. Doors open at noon. There's face painting. There's inflatables. There's skating. There's all sorts of things that you can locker room tours. You can come see what it's like, you know, in the beautiful Preds locker room. They redid that a couple years ago. You can see where we all hang out when we go and interview them and ask them questions that sometimes they like and sometimes they don't. That's just how it goes. But we're having fun here and appreciate the Preds for letting us come hang out. So with the lease signed for Bridgestone, or not signed, but proposed and will be signed, it's a formality, 2049 is when it runs out. And I think it's always fun to ask the question of, you know, it's like when you go to a job interview and they say, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? I think it's safe for us to ask that question about the city of Nashville. And if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. What does Nashville look like in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years? Well, I think there's different steps that we have to take from a sports standpoint. Mayor David Briley was on with, I will call it, Ryan and the GM, Ryan Porth and Floyd Reese, the other day, and he said there is a next step, and it's sitting on the Riverbank Nissan Stadium.
The next step for the city in terms of looking at facilities is going to be the Nissan Stadium. And so for a couple of reasons. One, the lease has not got that many years left in it. It's, you know, still maybe close to 10 years. But we've also got this issue of the World Cup game potentially coming in 2026, and that's pretty quick. So we've already started talking to the Titans about the lease, so that we could sort of lay out a framework to how to approach it, and that's next on my list. We've got the MLS stadium that is underway, and we got to get that built and get that up and running. And And so I sort of see those two things as being the next two things.
Mayor David Briley on with Ryan in the GM a couple of days ago. You can go to thegamenashville.com and listen to that interview. So that makes sense. When you look at facilities, it's like, all right, let's see here. We've approved the MLS stadium. Okay, that's going to start soon. Let's check. All right, we got a new lease with the Preds and Bridgestone Arena. All right, Nissan Stadium, let's circle that. And you heard it there in the clip that he said, okay, well, it's about 10 years or a little less for the lease to run out, but the World Cup is coming in 2026. They're going to make a decision on that here in the next couple years. So that means they got to get the ball rolling on Nissan Stadium and what they're going to do with it, and, you know, renovations and things like that. The Titans have said, and you'll hear more from the mayor in a second, the Titans have basically said, we don't want a new stadium. We want to invest in this one and renovate this one. Okay, and I know some of you might be like, yeah, but got to have a retractable roof because we want to get the Final Four and, you know, Super Bowls and things like that. Okay, all right, I get that. But if you put money, and the Predators have, you know, now taken care of, they've given you some that you don't have to use it in this place. If you want to take that and invest that into Nissan Stadium and you do it right, I mean, look across the country at football stadiums that have gone through this process. I mean, Lambeau is one of those, Soldier Field. I mean, these are older venues that they have put a lot of money into renovations. And yes, they're outdoor facilities, but I think it's kind of worked out for them. And look, if we don't get a Super Bowl, I don't think it's the end of the world, because we've shown we can do these things. But if the NFL's like, you know, it's Nashville and outdoors and whatever excuse they want to make up, we can say, well, you go to New York, and that's fine. I just think you have to look at this from an economic standpoint. That of all the things that this city wants to do as it continues to grow, a renovation might make the most sense. And that will allow you to do a lot of different things and host different events. I think you could get the Music City Bowl is already becoming, you know, a pretty big deal. I think it's gotten better on the pecking order in the last few years. With an updated stadium, it would get higher. I think you could even make the case of hosting a college football playoff game at some point in time. So that could be a possibility. You could host bigger kickoff games for college football. So that's a possibility. An outdoor hockey game, which the Predators are going to be playing in the Winter Classic in Dallas, but who's to say they couldn't host one here in the next 5 to 10 years? The World Cup, of course, as we mentioned, which I've heard that mentioned a lot by the mayor and other people in the city. That's what's next. That's what they want next. They have that circled like, okay, that's our next target. NFL draft, we've done that. We've had an NHL All-Star game. Now we want World Cup. So that's the goal. And like I said, they got to get the ball rolling here very, very soon in order to be approved for that. And Mayor Briley continued on Jared Inn, the GM, on the talks with the Titans.
Well, it's not quite yet on the front burner, but we have met with the Titans and talked about the lay of the land when it comes to the current contract and its extension, and then about the land surrounding the stadium over there. I think if you look at stadiums around the country, you're starting to see less and less of that just surface level parking and more residential, commercial, retail development in the area around it. And so we've started just to have some pretty open-ended conversations about what's going on other places, what the terms of the lease are, and how we might go about approaching it going forward. But that's about as far as we've made it. I will say that getting to know Amy Adams Strunk through the draft and it has been great, and she is certainly a great asset to the city of Nashville, and I'm confident we'll be able to work out something that is a win for both the city and the Titans in the long run.
Mayor David Briley on with Ryan Porth and Floyd Reese. Look, I bring this up a lot, whether it's on Morning Drive or on this show. I'm a huge Atlanta Braves fan. I go down to Atlanta all the time. Turner Field was fine, but it was in a bad part of town, and there wasn't anything to do around it. You go to the game, that's it. You go to SunTrust Park in Cobb County, you walk out, you're in an entertainment district. There's bars, there's restaurants, there's like a theater thing that you can go. It's like a venue. I mean, there's so much to do around it. There's places to live, there's hotels. That's where it's going. And like the Bridgestone Arena already has that because you're on Broadway. So there's all this stuff around that you can do. Nissan Stadium doesn't have that yet. That's what that needs to be a part of this conversation. A part of the renovation is building around it. You know, figure out what to do with the metal plant, all that stuff. And build stuff around it. Maybe have another – Braden Gall has thrown this out a ton of times of having another pedestrian bridge that goes from Broadway basically into the stadium. There's all these things that you can look at to do, because as much as I hate to admit it, I am of the millennial generation. And look, the attention span of millennials is you know, squirrel, 3 seconds, essentially. You have to give them more than just a football game. There has to be more to do in and around the stadium. You do stuff like that, and you're going to get more people coming. It's all about butts and seats. That's going to happen. It's going to make your venue look more appealing for bringing bigger events to the city. So that has to be the number one step for Nashville and for Mayor David Briley, is addressing Nissan Stadium, and they got to do it soon if they want to get the World Cup. Other things on the burner. That's 10 years. I would also say NASCAR is a part of this in 10 years too. I was out at the Fairgrounds Speedway yesterday, because the World of Outlaws is going to be here at the end of the month, May 31st and June 1st. So they're putting dirt on the quarter-mile track, which is inside the three-quarter-mile track. And so I'm standing there with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer John Oates, which was pretty cool, and standing on the dirt surface that they've dumped in there, and I'm looking around and I'm going, you know, I'm just going to be honest. Like, wow, this place needs a lot of work. But there's a proposal that Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, which runs Bristol, Jerry Caldwell, who's the VP at Bristol, they have presented this public thing to the city of putting about $60 million or so into the racetrack to fix it up, to bring it up to standards for NASCAR, and hopefully get NASCAR to come back. NASCAR is going to be redoing their schedule in 2021, could possibly add new tracks. Nashville needs to be a part of that because there is a big fan base here in the Music City for NASCAR. I do a NASCAR show, Chasing Checkers. Rate, subscribe, review on iTunes, GameNashville.com. Check it out. But every driver I have on is all about it. Mayor David Riley, though, was asked about two subjects when he was on with Ryan and Floyd. NASCAR is one of them, but the first is baseball, because that's been a part of the discussion. Could both of those sports be back in Nashville soon?
It's great to be considered for MLB. I don't even think they've announced an expansion yet. So we'll wait for that to happen before we start having any more serious conversations about exactly where Nashville would fit into that. And then NASCAR, I mean, I think I've made it pretty clear to the NASCAR guys from North Carolina that they need to try and work it out with the MLS owners here in Nashville about some way to mutually utilize that facility over there, that the fairgrounds over there. And if they can get something worked out, then I think that'll be great and we can add that to the mix. But at this point in time, we've got a full plate and we're going to try and take care of what's on our plate first.
Mayor David Riley with Ryan and Floyd. And I bring up baseball because baseball to me is not in the 10-year plan. Maybe it is, but I just don't see it with the checklist that the city has. NASCAR is. I would say baseball is probably in the 15 to 20-year plan for the city of once they get Nissan Stadium done, once the MLS Stadium is done, fix up the racetrack. And part of the deal with the racetrack is – they got the finances figured out where it's not coming out of the city's pocket. The only thing they have to work out is with the MLS folks of maybe moving some stuff around a little bit to make room for the new grandstands and everything around the racetrack. I feel like that is something that could be worked out because if I'm the MLS people and if I'm the city of Nashville, I don't want this shiny new MLS stadium sitting next to a dumpy racetrack. I want them both to look nice. That's my thing. So I feel like that's something that's going to get worked out. So as it pertains to NASCAR, as I was mentioning, the drivers, everybody wants to come here. They want to be a part of it. And so that's going to be another thing to grow this city. And then if baseball comes into play as well, I mean, you're adding more and more. At that point, you're a four-sport city, the NFL, the NHL, MLS, and then MLB, and then NASCAR. So five. So I just think that this city, when this lease is done in 2049, is going to be a huge sports town, even bigger than it is now. And the only one I think that could be missing is the NBA, just simply because they're in Memphis. So as a state, you'd have everything. But I just think it's so exciting for the city of where it's going with this new lease and what that means for the other venues around the city. Jim Wyatt covers the Titans for TitansOnline.com. I'm going to ask him, because he's from here, I'm going to ask him what he thinks about the 10, 20, 30-year plan and also what to expect out of OTAs when we come back here on the Chase McCabe Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Chase McCabe Show live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena, online at TheGameNashville.com. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning so far. We say hello to my buddy Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. Jim, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Chase. How you doing today?
Man, I'm good. You know, we got OTAs starting on Monday, and I got that itch right now. I got that football itch, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I think once you start having practices, once you start closing in on a mini camp and that break that comes between the end of June and the start of camp in July goes by pretty quickly. You know, you're starting to get close. Yeah, I'm excited to see it myself.
I want to start with something a little different, though. You've lived here your whole life and know the city and have seen it grown. The Predators announced this proposal for a new 30-year lease with Bridgestone Arena and all the things that entails. And so I've been having the discussion of what this city is going to look like in 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, we know that Nissan Stadium is over 20 years old now, and there are going to have to be some things done to it. I would assume it's going to be more of a renovation than a rebuild. But where do you see this city from a sports standpoint in 10 years?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was listening to you on the way to this time slot, and a lot of things out there that are going to develop over the next 10 years, especially with the lease, because, I think the hope that a lot of people have after seeing the draft is that this team will get that the city will get a Super Bowl. I think the only way that happens is if there's a new stadium. But, I think that Nissan could be renovated in a spectacular fashion. I heard you mention Soldier Field and Lambeau Field. Hard Rock Stadium down in Miami is an outstanding venue that didn't look anything like it does now 5 years ago. I heard David Briley talking with Ryan and Floyd just about stadiums across the country and what surrounds them, and I think that is a next step that is intriguing for the city. So I'd be surprised, just because I think Nissan Stadium's in a perfect place. I think it makes the most sense to renovate it, and that sounds like that's what the plan is, and I think it would be a great venue if you're renovated. As far as hosting the Super Bowl, I don't know. I guess it's one of those deals. I'll believe it when I see it. And without a dome stadium, I think it's going to be hard to do in Nashville when the weather's a little bit iffy in late January, early February, whenever that date would be. As far as baseball goes, I'm intrigued. I'm a baseball fan. That's been one of my favorite sports since I was a kid. A buddy of mine lead up to the draft from Baltimore, had me on his show there because I think there's fear that the Orioles are going to leave and wondering if Nashville could be a landing spot for them one day. And I think Nashville would support it. And I think it would be great if the city could get it. But I don't know. It sounds like that's down the road.
Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com here with us on the Chase McCabe Show. And, I just thought it was an interesting question and knew you would have some insight. But let's talk some football. We had rookie camp a couple weeks ago. John Robinson has made his draft picks. And I know for me, I really like this draft, and I think there's a lot of good talent in it. But now you kind of bring everything together with OTAs. It's the first chance for Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff to put the free agents and the returning players and the draft picks all together. I know we don't see a ton of things in OTAs, but what are they trying to accomplish when they hit the field on Monday?
Yes, I think with the new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, you want to see that process take off and be smooth in the transition, and I think it will be. I think the things I'm most looking forward to seeing is Marcus Mariota out there, and him practicing and how he looks. He's gotten a little bit bigger this offseason, and now he's got some new guys surrounding him, whether it's Adam Humphries or whether it's A.J. Brown or some of these other guys that have been here for a couple of years, getting further chemistry with them. So I'm curious to see Mariota. I'm curious to see A.J. Brown in against the veterans. It's one thing to work against the rookies. It's another thing to work against, veteran corners and a defense that certainly is going to be ahead of the offense, I think, at this stage. I'm looking forward to seeing how quickly, Nate Davis can get up to speed and how the offensive, a reshaped offensive line with Roger Saffold looks. And obviously there's going to be some guys that are not out there yet for an injury because of injuries, whether it's Delanie Walker or whether it's Jonnu Smith or some other guys who are still being held back early in the offseason program. It's definitely going to be a lot of things to be looking for starting on Monday.
We have a lot of national experts that come on our shows, and you know, especially post-draft, and they all seem to agree that when you look at Marcus Mariota going into year five, this is the best team that he has had surrounding him, whether it's the offense and the offensive weapons that he has or the defense to help back him up there. So essentially you're taking away any excuse that he has from being able to perform. Now, we've seen flashes and we've seen a lot of good things out of him. A lot of it's just been staying healthy. But when you look at this group as a whole, as they get ready to go into the 2019 season, what do you think the realistic expectations really are for not only Marcus, but the team as a whole?
Well, I mean, it's got to get over the hump. I mean, I know Mike Vrabel's, you know, started off the going from good to great mantra, I guess, back at the combine. But, you know, 9-7 is great when you've had seasons of, you know, 5-7-9 and, you know, back in early 2000s, I guess 2004, 2005, right? You had some, you had some 4-12s, and there was a 3-13, I guess, leading up to the Marcus Mariota pick. I mean, so when you go from that to 9-7, that's great. But now people want to see it go to another level. And this team went to the playoffs a couple of years ago, 1-1 in Kansas City. But you know, if you want to establish yourself as one of the better franchises in the NFL, you've got to start winning playoff games on a more consistent basis and just get 9-7 is no longer good enough. I think this team's capable of doing better than that, getting into double-digit wins, capable of winning the division, and then starting to try to do that on a consistent basis. But you got to do it. You can't just talk about it. And the whole division's better. That's one thing is you know, wasn't too long ago when the AFC South was the laughing stock of the NFL, and now you know the Colts are looking like one of the favorites in the AFC. The Texans have kind of controlled this division. The Jaguars, even though they were not very good last year, still have the makings of a good team and really not far removed from a great chance to get to the Super Bowl themselves, and they let a game slip away in Foxborough. So it's a better division. I think the Titans can go toe-to-toe with these teams, but they've got to stay healthy and they've got to play well. But I don't think it's unreasonable to expect double-digit wins and a playoff spot.
Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com here with us. Now, I'm always weary to make comparisons, Jim, to the past, but bear with me on this. If you go back in time to the final year in Houston, to the first 2 years in Tennessee, they were still the Oilers. They had 3 straight years of 8-8. And you had Steve McNair that was a rookie and then developing in that time. And I know he didn't play as much as Marcus Mariota has early in his career, but there were questions going into 1999 as the first year of the Titans of, okay, can he stay healthy? And is he good enough to be a franchise quarterback? And, you know, I think we got those answered. And even that year he had some injuries, and that's why you had Neil O'Donnell. But I see a lot of similarities between those teams in the early days of the Titans where you had a run game centered around Eddie George, and now Derrick Henry is starting to develop. You brought in a bunch of wide receivers to be weapons. Are you seeing those comparisons too, and do you think that this is truly where they can make that step?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the biggest difference is, you know, that team was dealing with so much transition going from Houston to Memphis to Nashville to finally playing in Philadelphia Coliseum back then, and they also had the same coach all the way through, and you know, things have been a little bit more herky-jerky here, you know, going from Wisenhunt to Malarkey and now to Vrabel. But I do think the team and how it's been built with John Robinson does have some similarities. And there's no question. I mean, I look at Mariota and McNair as they head into year five. I mean, as much as people love Steve McNair and look back at his days with such fond memories, and certainly I do as well, I remember the first game of the 99 season, which was his fifth season, and him getting booed during the course of that game. And I remember midway through the season when he was coming back from a back injury and Neil O'Donnell had gotten him off to a good start, when people didn't want him in there. And And that's with Marcus. He's got a lot of people in this corner, but I know there's a lot of people out there also who are frustrated by his inability to stay healthy and are ready to move on. And it is a kind of a prove it year for him because of what you said. I mean, he's got pieces around him. They've rebuilt the offensive line. They signed Adam Humphries, one of the top slot guys in free agency. They draft A.J. Brown. You know, they've got pieces that should make him more successful. Now he's got to stay healthy and do his part. And, you know, I hope he does just because, you know, how if he performs well, it's going to help the team. I really like him as a person, and I've seen flashes of his potential when he's played well. But, you know, this is a big year for him and a big year for his future because the pieces are in place.
Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. Looking forward to seeing you next week out at OTAs.
Sounds good. I'll be looking for you out there. It's going to be warm, which is means it's getting close to football season, no doubt.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chase.
Give him a follow on Twitter at Jay Wyatt Sports. Does a great job for Titans Online. When we come back, I ask the question, what player needs to take the biggest step forward in 2019, not named Marcus Mariota? We'll do that when we come back. The Chase McCabe Show on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe Show live at Bridgestone Arena, the Jack Daniels Barrel House. The Smashville Celebration coming your way. Doors open at noon today. Free lunch provided by Delaware North. The Nashville Predators team store will have a sale. There'll be face painting, the locker room tours, inflatables, games, and much, much more. There is a conversation at 1 o'clock about the past, present, and future of Bridgestone Arena and the Preds in the Lexus Lounge. That comes your way at 1 o'clock, featuring Ralph Schultz, George Plaster, Ron Samuels, Carl Dean, Butch Spiridon, Sherry Wiener, and Jacobia Dowell. So a lot going on there, plus much more today. And then tomorrow, even some more stuff going on at Bridgestone Arena. Just go to NashvillePredators.com, check it all out, and come on out if you're looking for something to do today. It could be a lot of fun. We're discussing Titans, and the player that I want to see take the next big step for this team. And I think for me, it could surprise you. I had this conversation with Floyd Reese yesterday and got his thoughts on it. I think it's Adoree Jackson. You know, Rashawn Evans is one that I've mentioned before, but as I've looked at this, I think Adoree Jackson is a young player going into year three that you want to see take a major step to being a true shutdown corner in this league. We know what kind of athlete he is, but coming into the league, he was touted as a guy that he could play both sides of the ball. He had special team skills, and we've seen flashes of that. There was that, you know, word that we always use. We've seen flashes of it, but it doesn't feel like that he's been able to put it all together. Now, I understand that between his first and second year, you had a coaching change, scheme change. You had Dean Pease come in as the defensive coordinator, so that changes things a little bit. So I'm thinking with a second year of working with Vrabel and Dean Pease that you're going to see Adoree Jackson be able to take that next step in being one of the top defensive players for this team. Because right now, you know, you look at Kevin Byard as being the leader on that defense in the secondary, I mean, and where's Adoree Jackson? Logan Ryan has really started to come into his own. I think he thrived under Dean Pease's system last year. So what is going to be the next step for him? Now, from an offensive standpoint, I think everybody is always going to look at Marcus Mariota as quarterback because that's the most important position. But for me, Derrick Henry is one of those guys. Can he have the type of production that he did last year? He had over 1,000 yards, 1,059, and 215 attempts, 12 touchdowns, and a lot of that came in the last month to 6 weeks of the season. He struggled out of the gate. If he can put it all together for 16 games, then what does that mean for the run game and for the offense for this team? One thing that was interesting, Lewis Riddick was on with Darren and Donick earlier this week, and he says he doesn't know if Derrick Henry can be the bell cow.
Derek needs to have a complimentary back to go with him. I don't think he's the guy who you necessarily are going to build an offense around. He's not a pillar type of running back. He's not an Ezekiel Elliott. He's not a Saquon Barkley type. So you need a Deion Lewis type that kind of complements him. Can you get away with that? Yeah, you can, but you need to be highly efficient in the other areas on the offense as far as being able to, you know, have good offensive line play, which you could say as far as the Titans are concerned. We'll see how they operate, especially from guard to guard this year, which was a weakness for them, thus the drafting of Nate Davis and the signing of Roger Saffold. So you need that area of it to continue to be productive in order for the running back position to be productive, because they don't have a bell cow player, right? And that's okay.
And that's interesting to me, because I've always been under the impression that, you know, once he got going, especially what you saw last year, that Derrick Henry could be a bell cow type player. And, you know, Deion Lewis was brought in for the reason that Lewis Riddick said, to be that complimentary back, but I don't think we saw it as much down the stretch just because Henry was playing so well. So I am curious to see how they're going to utilize both of those backs this year. Is there a player that we don't even know about yet? You know, one of these other running backs that could come in and kind of play that role? I don't think so. I think it's going to be Henry and Lewis as your 1-2 punch, and Deion Lewis is mainly going to be used for catching the ball out of the backfield, because we know that that's a weakness in Derrick Henry's game. But I do find that to be interesting, and what does the additions of Adam Humphries and A.J. Brown, plus, of course, Corey Davis coming back, and Taywan Taylor, Tajay Sharp, Delanie Walker will be back, Jonnu Smith. But having all of those guys from a passing game standpoint, what does that do to the run game, and specifically Derrick Henry? So I think that is a question for offense for Titans fans. And Lewis Riddick went on to say with his interview on Darren and Donick that the Titans have the pieces to win.
Tennessee has it. They have the pieces in place. But the combination of Adam Humphries, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, when you think of the difference between those three players right there, that's ideally how you want to build it. That's how you want to build your wide receiver core. AJ's a combination guy, big, strong, physical guy. Corey's more like a gazelle, a guy who belongs on the outside, who needs some space to work, who can produce explosive plays. Adam is a guy who works on the interior, at the E position, in the slot, who can work between the numbers. And if Delanie Walker is healthy, he's as good as there is as far as being a hybrid type of tight end. So you have the pieces. Now it's about, can you put it all together, like as a conductor of an orchestra, the offensive coordinator with Arthur Smith's going to be charged with it. Can you put it all together? Can you keep these guys healthy? Can you keep Marcus on the same page here with these guys and start to reel off wins?
That's the big question in all this is Arthur Smith. Can he put all this together? You know, he's never been an offensive coordinator before. I know he's been here for a long time. He's been a part of the staff. He's gone through coaching changes and all that. But is he the one that can take these pieces and put them in the right places and make this whole thing work? Because like I was talking with Jim Wyatt about, you know, 3 straight years of 9-7, okay, that's winning. But you've only won one playoff game in that time span because you only made the playoffs one time. You've done it with 2 different head coaches. Vrabel's going into year 2 now. I feel like he has established himself. He's learned after year 1. But can they turn 9-7 into, you know, maybe not 13-3, but you'll get 11 or 12 wins and a division title and a deep playoff run? Who knows what happens after that? They have – I'm with Lewis Riddick. They have those pieces. I think this team is talented enough. But can they all work together? That's going to be the big question. And then, like I said about the draft when Jim was on, I think these players, you know, Nate Davis is a guy that I think you spend a 3rd-round pick on him because you want him to be a starting guard on your offensive line. I know we've had this discussion about, okay, does Dennis Kelly play right tackle and you move Conklin in? I don't think so. I think Jack Conklin is a tackle. And I just think last year he missed all the training camp. He wasn't ready to come back. The knee was really messed up, and then he ended up getting hurt again. Last year was just a wash, and if he's 100% and truly healthy, and they're not going to rush him until he is, he's a tackle. He's a complimentary tackle to Taylor Lewan and I think he's going to come in, and those are going to be your anchors for the offensive line. Nate Davis is the guy you need to look at as being the next big guard for the Tennessee Titans. So we'll see how all those pieces go together as we move forward into OTAs. Media availability will be Tuesday, but they get underway on Monday. When we come back, though, I'm angry. If you follow me on Twitter, if you've been listening, you know that I'm ticked off because we have all this technology and there's something that these leagues can't get right. I will tell you what that is in hour number two of the Chase McCabe Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.